All right, we're on a series called The Mind of Christ. The Mind of Christ, this is part three. So there's some things that we're going to go over today. Hopefully it'll really stir us up on the inside and draw us closer to God. You know, how many people, I think everybody does, like a good secret? Some people like, you know, some people really tell secrets, and some people can keep secrets. Some people can't keep secrets, can they? So you know better than tell them your secrets. But anyway, God had a secret, and he kept that hidden from mankind for a long time. But what he did then is then he revealed that secret, and the only way really to understand that secret is have a revelation from God. Now, revelation knowledge is the best knowledge, because that comes through the Holy Spirit. And only if we have the mind of Christ will we have the hidden things of God revealed to us. Because there's so many things that God wants to show us, but yet I've always heard a saying, and it always meant a lot to me, God does not reveal himself to casual inquirers, but to diligent seekers. Now, casual inquirers, you know, God's wanting to lure them in, they're going to get something. But there's a lot of depth in the things of God that he wants for you and I if we just pursue him and seek him, you know, especially with our whole heart. Now, our scripture that we started off this series with is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 16. It says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him?" But then it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Okay, so that's what, you know, we can hold on to, that we can have the mind of Christ. That's what God wants for us to have. But he tells us some things there. The idea that the natural man kind of versus the spiritual man. You know, the natural man, those who just go by their five senses, you know, and, you know, they just can't really, you know, comprehend spiritual things. And I don't know, we've all been there, right? I know my, you know, pre-Christ days, I had very large problems understanding, you know, really what the Bible was about. I mean, I would read it, I remember reading it, and you know, it just, some of it made a little bit of sense, some of it didn't make any sense at all. But you know, but then, after I became a Christian, you know, after I asked Jesus Christ into my heart, well, things started to change for me a little bit. That's when things started to, my eyes were opened and I could start to understand some things in the Bible that I'd never noticed before. And so that leads me to my next passage, and to be honest, I've had this this part of the sermon written for several weeks, and each week I've never gotten to it because it was point number two. So I moved it up to point number one today, so make sure I would get that done today because I didn't want to carry it over again. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. Now, this should be a powerful passage in your arsenal, you know, in your weaponry, the things that you do, you know, to be able to overcome the things of these world. So, it says here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, here it is, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in all the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here. Lord, I pray for a special stirring in our hearts. We take authority over any disturbance, anything that tries to steal the word out of our hearts today, Lord. I thank you for fertile soil, that the holy seed of God is going to find a place to take root and to be able to grow, and most of all, Lord, to bear fruit. I yield to the gift you've given me, Lord. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this to me is talking about spiritual enlightenment. You know, I remember the old paintings back before I got saved. I did a 2.5 month trip around Europe, backpacking around Europe, and I hit a lot of the museums and stuff by all the, I guess you'd call them masters, you know, painters. And a lot of them, when they painted, they would paint the apostles and different things. And usually when they painted them, around their head, there would be a little bit of a glow showing that they were enlightened. And so that really stuck out to me. And I still remember that to this day. But, you know, the idea of being spiritually enlightened, meaning opened up to spiritual things. Now, I've gone over this before, but for the sake of those who maybe missed it or you were asleep at the time, I want to explain this again. So, we are born a sinner separated from God. The Bible talks about us being spiritually dead. Now, when we're spiritually dead, it doesn't mean that our spirit is dead. You know, we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, okay? The Bible tells that in several different places. So, spirit, soul, and body. But due to the sin of Adam, when we're born, we are born spiritually dead or separated from God. It doesn't mean your spirit's dead. It just means that there's a barrier between us and God, okay? So, when we're born again, we receive the new life of God. Well, that barrier is taken away. So now we are spiritually alive to God, okay? So that changes everything. That's a big difference in our life. Now you and I can have communion with God. You and I can receive revelation from God in a deeper way. So it opens us up to the things of God. So that is a benefit, and that's kind of spiritual enlightenment. So we start to see spiritual things. We're aware of these things. But what the problem is, when we're spiritually dead, the Bible says the god of this world, meaning Satan, has blinded the eyes. You know, it's like we have blinders on where we can't see. And so that's where mankind is when we're separated from God. But the good news is we don't have to stay that way. So no matter what your state is right now, maybe you're not where you want to be. Maybe you know that God has more for you. I'm saying hang in there, pay attention, and just keep moving towards God. Take notes. You remember more when you write things down. All these things, you know, fit into God's master plan, you know. And as you do that, then you're going to start to grow in Christ. So each of us need a revelation from Christ, whatever that means to you. And what we're going to get to is hopefully we'll be all on the same page at what means the same thing to all of us. So, first off, to have the mind of Christ, we must first know Jesus personally. And that's what I was talking about, being born again. You having that personal relationship. You know, a lot of people, when we say personal relationship, it just freaks them out a little bit. They just think, well, how can we have that? You know, how can we, in our frailties and our problems and everything that we have going on in our life, our imperfections, how could we ever have a personal relationship with a holy God? Well, I'm glad you thought that. Because the answer is through His Son. The power of the blood of Jesus that made a way when it seemed like there was no way. Correct? So that's the way you and I can do it. And then it goes on to say that you and I can have wisdom. Now, wisdom is important. A lot of people have knowledge. There's some people that are very educated, if you know what I mean by that. They're smart. But they don't have a lot of wisdom. Not a lot of wisdom. See, wisdom's kind of the ability to apply knowledge in the proper way. Have you ever met somebody, and don't point at them right now if they're in the room, that is so smart they're stupid? You know what I'm saying? They have all the facts, but they can't make it work. They can't connect the dots. And so that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. And we get the spiritual wisdom that you and I need to be able to function. So what the Bible talks this wisdom, we're not going to go in real deep of what it means, but it's talking about practical wisdom or skill in the affairs of life or expertise. You know, we're experts in the things of life. Why? Because we're spirit-led. We understand. And see, that's what changes, and that's the separation between us and the world, is the fact that because God sent His Spirit to live inside of us, we have the ability and the potential to hear from Almighty God and to be led by the Spirit of God. God doesn't lead us astray. Amen. God leads us to truth. God leads us to the good things and away from the bad things. And when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we start to do that, we start to walk in a different kind of wisdom. Not the wisdom that the world can receive, because they can't yet, because they're not saved. They're called the natural man. All they can go by is what they see or what they smell, what they feel, you know, the five senses. So we are opened up to a whole new thing. So to me, wisdom is not just an educated guess, but Spirit-revealed revelation. How many love those aha moments? Anybody ever had any of those? All of a sudden, aha, now I see it. Now I understand it. So that's what that meant. I mean, no matter how old we are in our pilgrimage, in our walk, in our journey with God, we can still have those aha moments. But, you know, we need to first desire to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That means we need to want it. We need to go after it. It needs to be part of our hunger and our prayer life and seeking after God. You know, the Bible talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everybody else is chasing after stuff. We're chasing after God. When we chase after God, we get the stuff. You know, the stuff we really need. How many's got too much stuff? You know what I'm saying? Chasing after all that stuff. And I just know one of these days I'm pulling the trigger. I'm going to start just throwing stuff out. And I do that once or twice a year. I get fed up with what I have. I got too much stuff. And I just start cleaning the closet or start cleaning out areas of the house. Not all the time, if anybody's been in our house. We got a lot of extra stuff, you know. But all that stuff, it's meaningless. It's worthless because if you don't use it, you know, but you might need it someday, you think, right? But anyway, that's how I was raised that way. My great-grandma, God bless her, you know, she was raised in the Depression. So she taught me never throw anything away. You know, but every now and then I tune her out, that voice that's still in my head, and I start throwing some things away and get rid of it. But anyway, that's just how I roll sometimes. So we need to desire that spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, now that we've been regenerated, you know, this is within our reach. You know, idea of regenerate, there's a lot of powerful words in the Scripture. You know, born again is a powerful word. Regenerated, to me, that word has power. You know, when you really think about what that means, and that's how we can meditate on those things and start to go over those things in our mind, you know. To me, I don't want to go into it too far, but I mean, either you're regenerated or you're degenerated. You know what I'm saying? So you figure that, you can write that one down. We'll think about it later on today. But the idea of being regenerated. So we need to understand that God does not want to keep us in the dark. Changes your philosophy. Your approach to seeking after God. As I said before, many people think God's playing hide and seek. They think that God's trying to keep things from them. Now, I'm not going to tell you, God's not going to tell you the whole big picture sometimes, because you'll cut through the stuff you need to learn along the journey and get right to the end, you know? But no, God does not want to keep us in the dark. He wants to reveal things to us. That should be our idea. So, the idea then also, we talked about wisdom, but the idea of knowledge. Knowledge means not to know about, but to know intimately. So that's the difference. It's kind of a relationship. As we always said, I know about certain people, but there's certain people I really know. I really know my wife, but I know some of you guys, but not intimately. Amen? Amen. Now, God, we need to know intimately. Most of us have probably some concept that we know about God. If I asked you, what, tell me about God, you could probably state a few facts, correct? Now, that'd be fine. But if you really boiled it down and you get past just the facts and you get to the fellowship part. See, facts are okay, but you have to get to the fellowship part of God. Well, that's different. If you tell me then about your fellowship with God, that generates hunger in other people because they know I want what you have. Because I can see if you can get it, I can get it. So get past the facts, get into the fellowship. Got to spend some time, get to know each other. And so once we get to that place, then we understand, and this is an old saying of mine, and I'll never get away from it, you know, everything that we need in God, I believe, is just a revelation away. No matter what it is. Think about what you need right now. It's just a revelation away. And once you get that revelation, it's yours. You own it. Freedom is just a revelation away. Maybe you're bound up by something. Maybe you have some sort of an addiction in your life. Maybe you have some sort of issue. Freedom is just a revelation away. Victory. Victory is just a revelation away. Maybe you're in a battle of your life right now. Maybe there's so many things going on, it just seems like the enemy's just coming in from every different direction. You just got to get that revelation from God that you've already won. Jesus has already paid the price. Jesus has already won the victory. We just need to walk in His victory. But that's a revelation away. We know those things. I'm probably not telling you anything new. We know about it. But do we have fellowship with it? Is it part of us now? And see, that's what the revelation means. You know, blessing. Most people want blessed. Go, God, I just bless me, Lord. I need to be blessed. Well, blessing is just a revelation away. Just a revelation away. And we can start to see what we have. And the last one I just want to share, and there's others, but healing is just a revelation away. You know, once we see that by His stripes we are healed, then we are healed. So all these things is just a revelation away. And I use that by, you know, the fact, remember Peter, you know, in Matthew is one of the places, I believe 16, you know, when Jesus was asking his followers, hey, who does everybody say I am? Well, everybody's saying, well, some say you're a prophet. That's cool. Some say you're a teacher. Oh, wow, yeah, right. Then Peter pipes up and says, you are Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus went, wow, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because your Father has revealed it to you. He was able to see what other people could not see. And that was because of revelation. That's why it's so important that you and I seek revelation knowledge, as is talking there. So to get to that, you know, we need to have some spiritual living. We need to be a spiritual person. You know, it talks about calling, you know, the hope of His calling. What is that talking about? See, we need to be ever mindful that God has called us for something greater. God has called you for something greater than you're doing right now. No matter how great you are, no matter how many things that you're doing, I really believe that God has more for you. Sometimes I think that many of us, we've just scratched the surface of what God has called us into. How do you think some of these people, especially in, you know, times of old, you know, different ones have made such a mark on the world and on the kingdom of the God. You know, George Mueller, you know, he was a man of God and had that orphanage, and he didn't have any funds, but he had a bunch of orphans that were hungry. And he'd sit down and pray, and then there was a knock at the door. Here comes some milk, or here comes some bread. They'd have stuff to eat. But his revelation of faith and on the faithfulness of God was so strong, he just knew that God was going to answer that prayer. Because, number one, that was not a selfish prayer. That was not a prayer, God, give me another Cadillac. No, God, give me food for these children. He knew about God's faithfulness. He understood what it means to have that revelation of faith. And, you know, that's the kind of faith that you and I have to move these mountains. See, we're called to live a life of impact. We need to make a bigger dent in this world, you know, and to bring that life of impact. You know, we may not ever, you know, maybe go to a foreign field, you know, to change a country, but boy, we can change our country. How do you do that? Well, we can change it by one person at a time. Amen? You start getting your neighbors saved and filled with the Spirit. You start getting people, you know, lives touched and changed. Then we start to see the impact that God is making on this world. And little by little, one by one, things are changing. And to me, when I say that, you know, we're called to make an impact, that means that calling, to me, calling means that God has a purpose for our life. Nobody is here by chance. Nobody is here by accident. We are all called to make some sort of difference in this planet, what it is we need to do. You know, we don't just do it just by chance, but, you know, God has put us here for that reason, so you just need to understand that. Well, then this passage goes on to talk a little bit more about the riches of His glory as we break this passage down a little. You know, to me, the riches of His glory is the things of God that you and I are to walk in now. Too many people say, well, I'm going to wait till I get to heaven to get the good stuff. Now, granted, that is the really good stuff. But there's good stuff here you and I can have. You know, we can start to walk in the riches of His glory, things that you and I can have now. We can start to walk in them things I mentioned earlier, talking about victory and blessing. You know, sometimes, you know, we as Americans, we are so maybe money-minded that we just think that, you know, blessings and things like that are all monetary all the time. But it's not monetary all the time. I mean, that helps. Amen? But there's other things that God can do. And so we can start to walk in these things. We can start to be a blessing. And we have His righteousness. That's that right standing that Jesus Christ gave us. That we have that righteousness, you know, and it's that righteousness that gives us the ability to be able to come into the presence of the Father. You know, we make mistakes. We're not perfect. We have all these issues going on in our life. But, you know, we're not going to the Father based on our merit. We're going to the Father based on what Jesus Christ has done. And He done a really good job. As a matter of fact, He made no mistakes. He was sinless, the Bible says. And then when we put our faith in that, then you and I can be able to go. And what I found out, and I hope you found this out right now, is that there's power in His presence. Because the presence of God changes things. That's why we do what we do. That's why, you know, we can have the presence of God. And I think I went into this last week a little bit. But the idea of why we worship the way we do. And if you're just watching online, you need to get here. 10 o'clock Sunday morning when the church starts. And come worship with us. And get into the place where, you know, we start to feel God's presence. And we start to see, you know, the things that God is doing on the inside of us. When we tune out everything else and we start to really focus on Him, then things happen. Because in His presence, you know, there is fullness of joy. You know, and then the next thing that we're going to see is the idea of inheritance. You know, some of us, you know, would like to get an inheritance. You know, it means we have something to look forward to. You know, God has given us an inheritance. You know, and there's different rewards in the Bible. We're not going to go into all of them right now, but there's rewards for the faithful. You know, I'm all about faith, but I'm even more about faithfulness. You know what I'm saying? You know, I may not have the faith to move a mountain, but I'm faithful. I'm going to keep hitting that mountain until that thing moves. I'm going to be faithful. You can't beat me away with a stick. People have tried. But I'm not going to quit. I'm going after God. You know, all these people say, well, God's not real and this and that and whatever. It doesn't matter because I know too much now. You know, because I've experienced God. And I know about Him, and I know how much He loves and how much He cares for us and all these things. And, you know, I'm not saying that I don't have skirmishes every now and then down here, and I do. But I do know this, I don't base my relationship with God based on my feelings. Feelings change. I base my relationship with God on the fact that I've already surrendered to Him. And that I know that He is faithful to me, so I need to be faithful to Him because I have eternal life with Him. People, the decisions that you and I make are eternal. It's one thing to make a bad choice that maybe, you know, so what if you bought something and, you know, it wasn't a very good purchase? Have you ever done that before? You know, what's $100 in the big scheme of things? Yeah, you can survive that $100 hit maybe, but if you're making an eternal decision, well, that's another deal. And that's why, you know, we need to remember the fact of, you know, what we do as a Christian and our surrendering to Christ was an eternal one. Then it goes on to talk about the greatness of God's power. To me, that's just talking about with God, all things are possible. Never count it out, never give up, never throw in the white flag and say it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. Amen? You know, just keep fighting the good fight of faith. Press on in, press on through. You'll get there. You know, we learn as we go, and hopefully we'll learn as we grow through it, right? As I've always said, a lot of people go through a lot of problems, and then they go back and they go through a lot of problems again. Then they go back and then they go through a lot of problems again. And they say, what's going on? I says, well, maybe you ought to try something different. Maybe you need to grow through that problem. Amen? Next time you go through a problem, try to grow through it. Try to lean on God and try to get into the things of God and understand the principles of the kingdom that's going to deliver you out of those things. It'll be different the next time. I guarantee it. But we have to grow. We have to grow through these things because we see the greatness of God's power. Then lastly, the idea of how we do this is having the mind of Christ. So how do we get to that place? Okay. You know, these revelations that I'm talking about will help us to have the mind of Christ. See, the mind of Christ will help us to have focused thinking rather than scattered thoughts. And this is something I've been sharing in that class I've been teaching. Is the idea of learning how to concentrate, learning how to focus, meaning tuning out all the distractions, right? You tune those things out, and then it helps us to focus, helps us to really concentrate on things that are important. And there's so much more there that God can give us because the mind of Christ focuses on the promise and the provision instead of the problem. Where you and I fail is when we go through a problem and our focus goes off, just like Peter when he's walking on the water, crying out loud. Think about it. I've walked on water, but it was in January. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it was frozen. But Peter did something that nobody else has done. He got out of the boat. And he was actually really walking on water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. well, there's some revelation in that, aren't they? We can unravel that a little bit. Must be something to this focusing on Jesus thing and taking our eyes off the problem. See, the waves may get taller, but it doesn't matter. Was the waves the problem? The guy was defying gravity. The waves were not the problem. That was just the symptom. But he looked at the symptoms. And see, that's why he sunk. So we need to come overcome those things. Amen? So we focus on the promise and the provision. Now, let's look at our last little passage here. We're going to share one little, but this is the one we're going to look up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 to 8, as we wind this up a little bit, talks about here, you and I, we're Christians, right? It says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, talking about how important it is to have this wisdom, okay? The mind of Christ, or the mindset of Christ, to understand the wisdom of God. You know what I mean? See, mind of Christ sometimes goes over our head. But when I say mindset, does that change anything for us a little bit? Because we all get in different kinds of mindsets, right? See, we have to have the proper mindset. Have you ever tried to do a job and your mindset wasn't quite right? You weren't really focused on that. You was focused on something else. And so you couldn't really complete the tasks. You know, and it just kind of wasn't in the right area. You know, where's our head at, or where was we thinking? Have you ever had that asked your question about that? You know, what was I thinking when I decided that? I mean, that doesn't make no sense. But see, our mindset at the time that we made that decision wasn't in a proper place. And so that's why we messed up a little bit. So we need to control, in a sense, our focused thinking on how we do it. And I do this, I practice this all the time, especially when I write my messages. Now, I can't focus my thinking for 8 hours straight as a rule, but I do know this, I can focus for several hours straight. And I do that, and then I take a little break, give my little mind a break. You know, everybody's brain needs a little break every now and then. Amen? You know, but I'll focus on my sermon for a couple hours straight, maybe. Then I'll take a little break, and then I'll go right back after it. I know, and by that, you get a little better at some things, okay? Because, you know, what is controlling our thinking? Well, I believe that we usually zero in one of two things that helps us to have focused thinking. Usually we focus on things that interest us or things that annoy us. Well, isn't that kind of true a little bit? If something really annoys us, we focus on that. And we get, you know, caught up on it. I was working out the other day, and this person in there, they was just clanging the weights. I don't wear earbuds when I work out. I just like the quiet, or kind of quiet, you know. I just like to think about God. That's just my time. Ever, you know, just over and over. And, you know, I've known that person in there before, and they've never done that. But for whatever reason, man, they was just banging those weights for no reason. Dude, stop it a little short. It's okay. You don't have to let them clank to let everybody know what you're up to. You know what I'm saying? You know? But anyway, it was annoying me, and it got me out of my focus. But see, the other thing is that helps us focus is things that we're interested in, things that are really exciting, things that we want to do. That's why a lot of people, you know, they can focus on their hobbies a lot better than they can focus on their job. You know what I mean? Because it's something that interests them. So when we have the right mindset and how to get that, there's a few little points we can look at here and winding up here. Is number one is start to fully understand God's plan for creation. That'll get us in the right headspace. You know, start to see the plan of God. If we're of the persuasion that we don't have a clue about what life is all about, it's going to make things confusing. Our journey is going to be like it don't matter. If the destination's not there, what difference about the journey? So we have to understand, you know, God's plan for creation, what he wants to do, how he wants to save people. Then we go into obedience. You know, idea that gets us in the right mindset. Obeying God's will, even if it's costly. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some things in life to be obedient to God. Next is the idea of humility. You know, meaning being God-serving and not self-serving. We need to be humble and not a prideful person. Then we need to operate in discernment. You know, being able to judge things according to the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word, we stay away from it. That goes for relationships and a lot of different things going on in our life. You know, if something's leading us away from God, we need to have the discernment to stay away from that. And that's all possible. Next, the idea of God's sufficiency instead of self-sufficiency. You know, we need to, you know, Paul in Philippians talked about how he learned to be content in whatever circumstances he's in. If he had a bunch, he was content. If he had little, he was content. You know, it didn't matter. Why? Because he was God sufficient. It was all about his relationship. And lastly, to be eternal minded instead of temporary minded. So we need to think long term. Now we're going to look at another word that was in that. I'm breaking down some important words for us to kind of digest, is the word mystery. Okay? And that's the Greek word mysterion. And what that's actually meaning is a person that's been initiated into sacred secrets. And that's talking about us. A sacred secret that can only be known by revelation, like the revelation Peter got. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Remember that? So, that was a sacred secret that was revealed to him. And so, it's a secret that God only shares with his people. Now, it's not that God's wanting people to die and go to hell. He's not. He's trying to reveal to them the way, the truth, and the life, you know, Jesus Christ. But the deeper things of God, he's not going to reveal to somebody who's not a Christian. He's, you know, they just can't understand it. And the scripture reveals that. So the idea then is revelation is something hidden that's revealed. And so I have something hidden here. And it's like God hiding some secrets from you and I. And this secret under here is something that you and I need to know about. Some of you might be able to guess what this secret is. I don't know. This is a secret that's been revealed to you if you've been born again. How did this make such a change on mankind? How did this thing makes this a difference in each of our lives? You have to have the revelation of the cross. Without this secret, your life will not be changed. It's the revelation and the power of God. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And there is power in the cross of Jesus Christ to be able to change our lives. The people who are not saved, they think it's foolish. It doesn't really make any sense how that can make a difference. But those who are being saved, it's the power of God. That comes by revelation. I knew since I was a little feller that Jesus died on a cross. I knew about it my whole life. I'd heard about it. But I was not saved. Did not have a relationship with God. I knew about him. But not until that day. And you may not remember the day you saved, and don't get all burned out if you don't remember your day. I do remember mine. I was older in life when it happened, and it was such a change. November 5th, 1983, I got the revelation the cloth was pulled away, and I had got the revelation of the cross, of what Jesus really did, and it changed my life. And hopefully you have that revelation yourself. And through that, it was a calling of the Gentiles. God used just to be the God of the Jews. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand some of these things. In the Old Testament, Naaman, who was a general for an invading army, you know, he had leprosy. And the prophet said, hey, go wash in the Jordan. He got all mad. He says, the rivers in my country are so much better than the filthy old Jordan. Why wouldn't I just go wash there? Water can't cure leprosy, dude. But it's the revelation from God. If you do it God's way, that's when it worked. So I had a little slave Jewish girl there, and she says, hey, just do it. Follow God in obedience, and he was healed. It's a revelation of obedience to follow God. The Bible says that if the enemies of God would not have, if they'd have known about the power that's in that cross, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, some believe it's people, but I believe that was talking about Satan also. You know, if Satan actually knew that, he thought when he killed Jesus, it was over, man. Right? Hey, I've won. 3 days later, say what? He rose from the dead. He would never have crucified Jesus, had him crucified, if he knew Jesus was going to raise from the dead. But it took a revelation to understand that. And that's the mindset that you and I have. We need to get out of the natural and start to see the supernatural. And it takes the mind of Christ to understand the mystery of the cross. And we're going to pray right now that God will give us that revelation. Amen. Let's bow in prayer.